Upfront, inside Atlanta's entertainment industry, is brought to you by Atlanta's Jazz Station, 91.9 FM, WCLK.
Coming up on this week's show, Upfront talks to Atlanta teen sensation Nadege Bailey about her role in The Best of Enemies. I'll also chat with Emmy-nominated content creator James Bland regarding his popular web series, Giants. The show is now being seen on Cleo TV, and he's here to chat about the collaboration and more. Closing out the show is my exclusive with dance star Jewel D. Lane. He's here to chat about some exciting news. I'll also be playing some classic jazz tunes in honor of Jazz Appreciation Month. But first, here's Karma Jones with this week's casting buzz and entertainment news.
All right, Mr. DeMille, I'm ready for my close-up.
The new independent film, Bite Me, is looking for an African-American actor to portray a father who runs a vampire cult in a small hometown. The actor must be 6 feet with a muscular build and between the ages of 30 and 50. He must also be comfortable wearing SFX makeup and ready to be evil and a little campy. Shooting will take place at the end of April in Still, Alabama. If this is you, please submit your information to stonereagan123@gmail.com. That's stonereagan123@gmail.com with Bite Me in the subject line of the email. In other related entertainment news, watch the trailer for Beyoncé's new Netflix documentary Homecoming at WCLK.com. The film airs on Wednesday, April 17th and features candid footage and interviews detailing the preparation for her 2018 Coachella performance, which paid homage to historically black colleges and universities. And finally, congratulations to Miss Kathy Hughes, founder of Urban One. She recently made history as the first African-American woman to be inducted in the National Association of Broadcasters Hall of Fame. The self-made media pioneer, activist, and philanthropist recognized for her numerous contributions to media and entertainment, including radio, TV, and digital. Go to WCLK.com for the full story. That's this week's Casting Buzz and Entertainment News. I'm Karma Jones.
I'm a goner till I die. I'm gonna laugh instead of cry. I'm gonna take the town and turn it upside down. I'm gonna live, live, live till I die. They're gonna say, what a gal. I'm gonna play for the sky. Ain't gonna miss a thing. I'm gonna have my fling. I'm gonna
wake up. This is Spike Lee listening to my man, Ray Cornelius, up front, 91.9. WCLK.
The first segment features my conversation with James Bland, creator and star of the popular web series Giants. The show follows three millennials as they try to navigate through adulting, all while addressing mental illness, sexuality, and more. The show is now airing on Cleo TV and has also picked up a few Emmy nominations. James Bland, welcome to Upfront. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, I've been trying to get you guys on the show for a while now. Super excited about your series Giants, and like I was saying offline, had been posting about it, had heard some great things about it, then I finally got to see it and could not stop watching it. Binge watched it one Sunday, and really excited about this new partnership that you guys have with Cleo TV, one of the newest networks out there, presented by TV One. Before we go into that new partnership, James, let's talk about how this series came about and how you created these characters. Are you like Tyler Perry, where you had all of these different voices talking to you at the same time?
I think in some ways, yes. But honestly, these voices were talking to me in real life, and not just, you know, in my head. I mirrored Giants a lot off of my friends and my family and the things that I was seeing around me. And it's really a reflection of where I was in my life and where a lot of my friends were. We were dealing with our mental health issues and our sexuality and trying to find our purpose and living in Los Angeles as artists, trying to figure out how in the hell we're going to pay rent and still, you know, trying to chase these dreams. And so I really just sat in front of the computer and I wrote my life, you know, in a way. And I think that's the reason why Giants resonates with audiences so well.
Yeah, I was going to say, because did you know that it would connect? Because immediately, once everything, you know, went out and it was public, everyone could see it. It's like everyone was talking about it. And I was behind the eight ball because everybody was talking about it. And I was like, yeah, I don't want to hear it. I haven't seen it yet. And so when I finally saw it, I was like, oh, I see now why people are connecting to this. So did you know that it would be that successful?
I did not. Giants is like my fifth digital series, right? So I've been at this for a while. So I've had the experience of creating a show. You put it up, you put it out, you know, on the internet, and it doesn't necessarily get the response that you had hoped for. You know, the digital space can be extremely cluttered, and at times it can be hard to kind of break through the crowd. And so honestly, one of my biggest fears was that I would put my entire heart and soul into a project, put it out, no one would care. And so I'm really happy that that was not the case, that the show, you know, found its audience, that it resonated with people. But I think it's always a surprise for a content creator, because you just never know what's going to stick. And in particular, in the digital space, you can't plan virality. You don't know what audiences are going to make go viral. So my thing is, I just want to tell the truth. I want to create from my heart, and hope that it resonates at least with the folks that are supposed to receive this content.
Yeah. So let's take our audience to the writer's table. How do you guys put each episode together? Is it just something that's just organically takes place, or do you gather everyone around and you guys are just kind of, you know, just playing around with different subjects and things of that nature? How does that all work?
Yeah, so season one, I actually wrote the entire season myself, and it was a year process, and it was just kind of me sitting at the computer bleeding, pouring my heart out. But with season two, I put a writer's room together, consisting of myself and Vanessa Baden-Kelly, who plays Journey, Christina Martin, and also J. August Richards, who's a director and also a guest star, okay, you know, on the show. And we would meet in my living room most days, and I have a blank wall in my apartment, and we would break each episode with note cards. And so with season two, we went from episode one all the way to the finale, and we kind of mapped out where these characters would go. We did a lot of dialoguing just around what happened in season one, a lot of discussions around who these characters are, you know, what makes them tick. We decided, you know, in that space, what would happen with Journey and Malachi in terms of what their backstory was and the importance for the audience to, you know, receive that information. And in addition, we read comments, and we got the opportunity to see what our audience wanted to know or what they were wondering, you know, from season one. And one of the biggest questions was, what is going on with Malachi and Journey? You know, did they date?
Yeah.
What's their backstory? What's going on with Malachi and Adai? What's Malachi's sexuality? And I purposefully left Malachi's sexuality a bit ambiguous in season one, because I feel like Black men, we don't get the opportunity to explore, you know, in that space. You're either gay or you're straight. There's no in between. Like, I've had folks say Black men can't even be bisexual. And so I really wanted to create this this masculine male character who was somewhat ambiguous in his sexuality, and not necessarily have to spell it out for everyone, right, you know, in the beginning. But as we got into season two, we had to dig a bit deeper, yet there's still layers there to Malachi. Like, you know, most of us, we exist as very complex characters, and it's not always black and white.
Yeah. Let's talk about these Emmy nominations. I mean, you guys received a good number of them. And this is what I was talking to someone from TV One earlier today. This is kind of unheard of. I mean, you guys start off as a web series online, yeah, and now you're on television. But you guys received these nominations before you got the deal with Cleo TV, correct?
Well, season one, we were nominated for two Daytime Emmys.
Yeah.
And then the deal happened with Cleo TV. And then we got the 11 Daytime Emmys. Wow. But yeah, that's still from our second season.
Exactly. Yeah, which is kind of unheard of. So, I mean, you guys have sort of created, like you were saying earlier, this new space of content that is not necessarily, you know, on a cable network. It's not on the big three networks. And you guys have kind of broken down a new door for being able to create content that could even, you know, that's even, you know, that's considered now Emmy nominated material. So how did you feel when you got that first call, or you were first informed that you guys were receiving Emmy nominations?
It was incredible, because I did not dream of this. It wasn't on the to-do list, you know, with Giants. I always thought Giants would be the project that would get me to the next project that would get me to television and ultimately get me an Emmy nomination. But it's like that saying that God can dream a bigger dream for you than you can dare to dream for yourself. And I didn't even realize that I was dreaming too small, or that God had this incredible plan, you know, for the show. I feel as if, you know, I was just being obedient to what I felt in my heart in terms of what I was supposed to be creating, what I was supposed to be doing at this exact time of my life. And I made a lot of sacrifices to make Giants happen. You know, I left a job, a full-time job, and I literally put everything that I had into the show, also financially. And so to receive 11, you know, Emmys is not only exciting, it's incredible because so many folks who work on the show are having the opportunity to be honored, but also just the significance of 11 doesn't fall short on me. I'm really big on just the meaning of numbers, and 11 is a divine number that speaks of transition, and it speaks of being at a place where you're starting to kind of step into your harvest and you're leaving the famine. And Giants is a testament to that, and it's kind of the transition that I'm going through in my career as a result of this independent series.
Yeah. Now let's talk about this partnership with Cleo TV. They're a new network presented by TV One that focuses on African-American women and millennials. So you guys are a part of this new launch of this new network. So how did that all come about?
You know, Jason Ryan, he's an exec over at TV One. He was a fan of Giants before Cleo existed. When we put out our first season, Jason was working to program a block of digital content on TV One, sort of like an Adult Swim, you know, type of a situation. That vision did not work out, but because Giants was already on his radar when Cleo, you know, came about and they were searching, you know, for content, he brought Giants to the table. And the beautiful thing was Giants was already at a level in terms of production value that it could seamlessly transition from the internet, you know, to television.
Yeah.
And so Jason connected the dots, and we made it happen.
Wow. Well, James Bland, congratulations on your success and the Emmy nominations. And now you're being seen on Cleo TV. And tell our audience how they can continue to follow you on social media.
Yeah, so you can watch Giants, you know, on Cleo on Sundays at 9 a.m. with the encore at 7 p.m. And you can follow the series at Giants the Series. That's on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. You can follow me at J.R. Bland.
All right.
On all social media platforms.
All right, man. Congratulations and good luck.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
L is for the way you look at me. O is for the only one I see. V is very, very extraordinary. Even more than anyone that you adore can love, it's all that I can give.
Hi, Cassie Davis here. You're listening to Upfront with Ray Cornelius. Take it away, Ray!
My next guest is teen sensation Nadege Bailey. The Atlanta-based actress is currently starring alongside Taraji P. Henson in the civil rights drama, The Best of Enemies. I caught up with her this week to chat about her role and much more. Well, Nadege Bailey, welcome back to Upfront. How are you?
I'm doing wonderful. Thank you for having me.
Oh my gosh. I'm so excited to finally get you back on the show.
Thanks so much.
It's been like, what, 2 years now?
It has been. Last time I was here, we also talked about The Best of Enemies, which we'll be talking about today.
Yeah. And now you've been doing some more television. You've got some other film projects that are coming out. So before we get into that, let's talk about your current film that's in theaters right now, The Best of Enemies, that features Taraji P. Henson and Sam Rockwell. Got a chance to watch it this week, and wow, was just really blown away by the story. Loved that it was shot right here in Georgia, scenes in Atlanta. But let's talk about your character and how you got involved with this project. Had you heard of this story before you were cast?
No, prior to this movie, I actually never heard of Ann Atwater, and I never even heard her name before, which is really sad because remarkable leaders such as herself shouldn't go unmentioned. And hearing about her really inspired me because she just has this fire within her that ignites other people, including myself, to just stand up for what you believe in. And she's just so amazing. Her personality, her faith, the words that she says just inspire me in so many ways. And I'm just so glad that I finally heard this story and that other people will too.
Yeah. Now, this was shot 2 years ago.
Yes, it was.
Yeah, yeah. So take us back to, because I think when you were on the show the last time, you had just found out that you were cast for the role of Ann Atwater's daughter. So take us back to getting the call and finding out that you were going to be in this film with Taraji P. Henson.
Well, I remember the audition process. The first audition I did was a self-tape. In a self-tape, you do it at home. You set up your camera and you just go for it. And I remember it being, you know, just a quick audition, two scenes and a couple of lines that I had to say. And I remember that this audition, for me, mostly relied on facial expression just to get my point across. Because you could do an audition and you could have a couple things to say, but they want to see what else you bring other than the lines that they give you. And so I remember doing that audition 2 days later, or a couple weeks later, I believe. I get a call back to go in and see the director for this project, and that made me really nervous because auditions usually tend to like stress me out, especially when they're in person. But the director, Robin Bissell, he was in the room during this audition, and he didn't make it feel like an audition. He made it feel like I was at rehearsal, and that made it go really well. And it was just wonderful to hear 2 days later that I was cast as Marilyn Atwater. And then 2 years later, 2019, The Best of Enemies came out April 5th.
Yeah. Now, did you have a chance to meet Miss Atwater's family?
Yes, actually. When we went to the premiere in New York, I actually met her granddaughter, Anne. And she's so sweet and so beautiful. And she is actually the niece of Marilyn Atwater, who I portray.
Right.
And since her aunt was unable to attend, Miss Anne let me do a video saying hello. She sent it to her, and that was really nice. So.
Yeah, wow. So what was it like working with Taraji P. Henson? Because she's been, man, all over television and so many films, and this was just a really unique character. So what was that like working with her?
Working with Miss Taraji was really a great experience. I learned so much from her just by watching her perform. She's a phenomenal actress, and she has a wide range, and it was so cool to watch her transform from Taraji to Ann Atwater. And I could tell that she did a lot of studying for this role, because portraying someone such as Ann Atwater, that requires a lot of studying to like the second degree from just portraying a fictional character. And it was just really awesome to watch her perform. I learned so much. She's so wonderful, and it was just so much fun working with her.
Yeah. Now, what did you personally learn? Because I want to say you were maybe 13 at that time.
Yes, I was.
Yeah. So what did you personally learn from that film, and how is that helping you as an actress now?
This film, it taught me a lot. First of all, as an actress, it taught me, Miss Taraji definitely taught me that we definitely have to step out of our comfort zone and tell stories that we probably haven't stepped in these shoes before, but we have to tell stories for other people. We have to make a difference. And her playing Ann Atwater, that I can't see anyone else playing this role. And she really inspired me to just go out there, put myself out there, and tell stories that need to be heard. And this movie itself definitely taught me the power of love, that love is not only a strong feeling, it's the strongest force that we have, and it can reach anyone, including the ones that we dislike the most, and that we can fight, yell, and scream all we want until we don't know what we're even fighting about anymore. And love is just, it's a strong force, and you can change a lot of things with love. And the relationships you have with people, everyone will always remember the love that you gave them, and we will always remember the love that someone gave us. And love could just heal a relationship and replace all hate. And this movie definitely taught me this beautiful moral, and I hope it teaches everyone as well.
Yeah. You're listening to the voice of actress Nadege Bailey from The Best of Enemies. Now let's talk about some of your current projects, because I think immediately after being on the show, you went to Canada and started filming and working on a television series?
Yes, I did. I filmed a TV show called Life Sentence for 6 months in Canada, and that was such an incredible experience. And it was such a fun show to film. Unfortunately, we only had one season, but that one season changed my entire life.
Yeah, because you were playing a cancer patient. patient.
Yes, right? I was a cancer patient, a patient with leukemia, and her name was Sadie Carter. And she just taught me so much. I never played a character like her before. I had to do so much research myself. And it was one of those roles where you have to step outside your comfort zone. I never pictured myself playing a role like this. And I'm so thankful that it came around and I was blessed with it. And it was just a wonderful, wonderful experience for me.
Yeah. Well, Nadege, thank you so much for being a guest today on Upfront. Again, she is currently starring in The Best of Enemies that is in theaters now, starring Sam Rockwell and Taraji P. Henson. And we're so excited about this project and can't wait to see what's coming up next for you in 2019. I know you've probably got some projects that you can't talk about. And that's always the case with actors. You guys always have. You guys can definitely keep the biggest secrets. But how can our fans and listeners keep up with you on social media?
Well, you could follow me. My username under all platforms is Nadege Bailey, and I will keep you updated on everything that's going on.
All right. Thank you so much, and continue to soar, okay?
Thank you so much.
All right.
Thanks for having me again.
No problem.
Have a good one.
All right, you too. Hey, Upfront listeners, make sure you go to WCLK.com and check out my full Upfront coverage of the recent Atlanta premiere of Little, which opens in theaters this weekend. That's WCLK.com.
Luck be a lady tonight. Luck be a lady tonight. Luck if you've ever been a lady to begin with.
Hi, this is Kathleen Bertrand, and you're listening to Upfront with Ray Cornelius.
My last segment features Atlanta-based dancer and choreographer Joel D. Lane. The YEA alumnus will be recognized by the city of Atlanta next month, along with triple threat performer Jasmine Guy, for their contributions to the city's thriving art scene. Lane also talks about his latest work, The Maestro, and more exciting news. This is an Upfront exclusive you won't hear anywhere else. Joel D. Lane.
Hey.
Welcome back to Upfront. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you for having me back, Ray.
Yeah. So you've got some exciting stuff going on. I want to say it because it's so major. It's so big. But I'm gonna let you do that. So
oh,
let's
thank
talk
you.
About this exciting news that you just got today.
Yes, I just got the exciting news today. And it actually came from my school, North Carolina School of Arts. I'm an alumni of the school.
Yeah.
And the award is called the Entrepreneurship Award.
And that's A-R-T.
Yeah, art, not
yeah.
entrepreneur.
Yeah, yeah.
So yeah, and what it consists of, it gives artists who have been through the school, is voted on by the faculty, the dean, and then there's an alumni committee, and they give you funds to cultivate whatever artistic merit you want.
Yeah.
So, and I have been awarded, along with my sister Camille Brown, we both have been awarded this wonderful award.
Yeah. And so this is money that you can use to create a new work, however you basically want to use it, as long as it's funding some type of new work or installation, correct?
Yeah. And you know, for me, I live between the world of like concert dance and film, and so it'll be something probably tailored around that. So, and but my mind has been like, so
yeah,
I'm just like,
yeah.
I don't know yet, but it will be something of that stature.
Yeah, and you've gone back and done some classes for them.
Always.
All types of, yeah. You've created work for them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, actually, they were like the blueprint for most of my works.
Okay.
So the work that I did with Ailey 2, Touch and Agree, I actually tested the waters at North Carolina School of the Arts. So I always go there and like test out choreographic work. So when I get bigger commissions, I'm able to go back into a little booklet and say, oh, I want to do this because this is how this look.
Yeah.
So yeah, so I'm always super grateful for them. And I'll actually be back this summer teaching for the summer program. And so, yeah, so I'm excited.
So are the wheels already turning on how you're going
Listen,
to?
Listen, the moment I read the email, well, I got the phone call. I was in New York and I was at the Whole Foods.
Okay.
And you know, it was on April 1st.
Wow, so you thought it was a joke.
So I was like, hello, who is this? And then they told me, and I literally dropped everything in Whole Foods. I was like, no. And I called my mom and she was like, you know it's April Fools, right? And I was like, you know what, you're right. Man, but then I got an email and I was like, no, this is real. So yeah, man. Yeah. I mean, I've just been like thinking nonstop about it. You know, it's a great opportunity for any artist. So I'm just trying to figure out what I'm going to do.
Yeah. So you had this really cool project that you did last year that was inspired by the classic Ernie Barnes painting, The Maestro. Let's talk about that. Because when you sent that to me, I was just like, yo, this is so cool. Oh,
thank you.
I posted it on my website and I was just like, wow, like who thinks of stuff like this? So let's talk about The Maestro.
Well, Ernie Barnes has always been like a huge inspiration for me. Even when I was growing up, I would see his paintings and I always felt like they looked like me with the high booties and like very long legs. And so I, back in 2012, I actually created a solo around The Maestro. And I told myself, if I ever get the opportunity, I'm going to put it on film. And I had been holding off for so long. And it wasn't just probably until last year when I was in North Carolina. I always feel like when I go to North Carolina, that's always like my place to like create. And so I said, I'm going to do it. So I put it together and I wanted to make it extremely short because of people's attention span. And I also wanted to stay true to the artwork itself. And so people always say, well, your eyes are closed in the film. And my eyes are closed because Ernie Barnes wanted people to be blind to one another's humanity.
Okay.
So I created it and I wanted people to kind of get their own interpretation of it. But it's been really great because it was featured on Afropunk. And I've been just been getting like a lot of great responses from it. So
yeah. So let's go back. You mentioned working with Ailey too, and that's sort of been like a 2-year partnership as well, correct?
Yep.
Let's talk a little bit about that because you did the show last year.
Yeah, yeah, it's been great. You know, it's been a really lovely ride. They are in completion of it now this year. So, I mean, if they want to continue with it, you know, that'd be something we can talk about. I don't know, but it's definitely created this bigger platform for me. A lot of people have seen my work. I've had great responses from like really big names. So it's been great.
Yeah.
You know, I think for me, it's just kind of opens the doors for more opportunity as a choreographer.
Yeah. Now, speaking of big names, you're going to be honored really soon by the city of Atlanta, along with...
It's like Christmas in the spring something. I don't know what's going on.
Along with Miss Jasmine Guy. So let's talk about that as well. That's coming up May 3rd?
No, it's coming up May 2nd.
Okay.
And it's part of Southwest Arts Center. And I am getting an award called the Young Innovator Award. And I don't even know what that means. But just the operative word innovator just means a lot to me because I feel like I'm always creating my own lane, you know, and really defining what my brand is. And I felt like through that, I've just kind of said, I'm just going to do what I'm going to do.
Yeah.
And I haven't really waited on anybody. So that means a lot to me. And it means a lot that my community sees that. And I always feel like I always wanted to be a voice for Atlanta and represent Atlanta. And I always used to say, well, I hope I'm doing a good job, you know.
Yeah.
But if I can inspire anybody, you know, this award means a lot. So.
Yeah. And the fact that it's going to be you along with Jasmine Guy, which you guys have worked
together
before.
Yes, and I love Jasmine Guy. Yeah, she's great.
Yeah, whenever I do mention dancers, you're always one of the names that she talks about as someone that's kind of coming up behind her and doing some great work.
Yeah,
so,
yeah. No, she's incredible. I think the best piece of advice she gave me is we were doing a show and she looked me into my eyes. And when she look at you in your eyes, you're like, you feel like she's looking like
through
behind you. You're like, oh my gosh, she's really in my soul. But she told me, she said, if you're going to be a leader, lead. And she walked away. And I was like, what was that about? But it has stuck with me forever. And I was like, she was just trying to tell me, you need to get your stuff together.
Yeah.
So
what's next?
Well, what's next is I'm still performing with Camille Brown and Dancers, and we're actually going to Dubai. We're doing her latest work, Ink. So I'm super excited about that because this is our first time going to Dubai.
Yeah.
And in addition to that, I would just say just stay tuned. I have some really great announcements that are coming, and I'm just going to keep my mouth closed, and you have to see.
and tell our listeners where they can actually get this exciting news, because this is, when are you going to be announcing this?
Very soon. Okay. They can go to my website, jeweldlane.com, or if you're not into websites, you can go to IG. You can follow me on IG,
okay.
Jewel D Lane on Facebook, Jewel D Lane on Snapchat, Jewel D Lane on Twitter, and I don't have any more social handles.
So, and you can check out The Maestro at WCLK.com. Again, Jewel D Lane, thank you so much for being a guest today on Upfront, and best of luck to you.
Thank you, Ray, and thank you for having me.
Well, that'll do it for this week's show. I'd like to thank all of my special guests, Nadege Bailey, Joel DeLane, and James Bland. I'd also like to thank Karma Jones for voicing this week's casting buzz and my engineer, Jami Wellman. Upfront is produced by WCLK 91.9. Please join us next Saturday, April 20th, for another exciting edition of Upfront, Inside Atlanta's Entertainment Industry. Happy Saturday, Atlanta.
If you like today's show, please hit us up at WCLK.com. We'd love to hear from you.
Upfront, Inside Atlanta's Entertainment Industry has been brought to you by Atlanta's Jazz Station, 91.9 FM, WCLK, an NPR member-supported station.